93.5, 95.3. Connect FM, Tay and Jay Show. Lante having a pretty good day. Then there's Jeremy.
I'm having a great day.
You're being kind of a little smart aleck. Is what you are.
I just told you that I'm a little brother. That's how we learn to defend ourselves.
What are you defending from, though?
You gotta get jabs in, because the older brother always gets all the credit. Or gets, you know, I don't know. It's just what we do. It's the only way, because we can't beat the older brother.
That's verbal
jabs,
especially when they're 6'5" or whatever, like yours.
Right.
That is kind of tricky. Lindsay Wilhite, Jeremy is being kind of a punk today. What should I do to him?
Describe him also as like snot nose,
yes, or whippersnapper or something like that.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. He's not being that. We were just having some fun between the break. Lindsay Wilhite, we just gave you, well, we didn't give you, we gave the listeners our first team All Big Ten: Juwan Johnson, Jared Solinger, Jordan Taylor, John Luehr, and Etuan Moore. Do you agree with that?
Wow. I think I just voted on the AnnArbor.com informal poll last night. I think we have four of the five in common. I really debated John Luehr versus Taylor Battle, and in the end I gave Taylor Battle the nod. But you can't go wrong with John Luehr or obviously any of those other guys on that list.
Lindsay, why Battle over Luehr?
You know, it's hard to say. I guess just because he's done so much for that squad. Maybe you could almost say it's a lifetime achievement award because of his becoming the first guy to go over 2,000 points, 500 rebounds, 500 assists. I don't know if people understand just how many rebounds this 5'11" dude has gotten in his 4 years, but I want to say I read a stat somewhere last week that said Taylor Battle and 7'1" Mike Tisdale were tied in career rebounds going into their last couple games. So he's pretty prolific. He's been a great player, and I really think, and it also might be a little bit that I think Penn State is an NCAA tournament team. I'm probably crazy, and they're probably not going to get in, barring, you know, winning three games or something this weekend. But I would really like to see Penn State get a little recognition, because I think they've been, especially the seniors, have been a really good squad this year.
Yeah, they've been a very good team. They've challenged a lot of people and played well. Now, how about for Player of the Year? That's something Jeremy and I did not talk about, but I know who he likes. He likes one certain freshman from Ohio State, I think. And I like some certain senior from Purdue, Juwan Johnson. Who do you like, Lindsay?
I'm in the Lante camp. I voted for Juwan Johnson. And actually I voted for Juwan just barely over Jordan Taylor.
So you've got Solinger third.
Yeah, that would be fair to say.
Wow, that's interesting. Jeremy, what do you
Solinger
think?
Solinger kind of dropped it the second time through the schedule. He's obviously a great player, and he could very well be the number one pick in the draft if he goes in a couple of months. But Jordan Taylor was just absurd.
Well, Lindsay, the NCAA tournament, the committee, I thought they don't look at the last 10 games. You're looking at the last 10 games for your MVP vote here.
I'm looking at the whole picture, but I'm just saying if we had voted, you know, at the turn of the schedule, you know, 9 or 10 games in or whatever, the Big Ten schedule, I think Solinger probably would have been on at least half the ballots, if not more. He might have been the favorite, but I think Johnson and Taylor put on real bursts in the second half that allowed them to pass Solinger. And actually, if I read my Twitter feed right, I believe Solinger even agrees that he hasn't been as aggressive and hasn't played as well as he did for a long stretch of the first, you know, two-thirds of the season.
Well, I certainly hope those two guys, Johnson and Solinger, I certainly hope they're getting paid next year and not around to give Illinois a fit. Illinois did get it done, Lindsay, when it counted on Saturday, and in solid fashion by the seniors, et cetera. What'd you think of that victory?
I thought it was pretty solid. You know, when I was watching it unfold, I was very impressed at how active they were, how much they talked on defense. I don't know. From our seats there behind the benches there, you know, you can hear Bruce Weber say everything he says, but I can't remember if I ever heard, you know, Mike Tisdale and Myers Leonard talking as much as they did Saturday, you know, talking to the guard, you know, the screen this, you know, how to defend that. It just seemed they were that much more aware, and I thought, wow, this is really impressive how on point and how energetic they are. And then afterward I realized, oh, yeah, Indiana just played, 36 hours ago. Maybe there's a little something where not only is Illinois a little more energetic, but Indiana's a little more sluggish, which kind of amplified the effect of the Illini.
Well, Lindsay, that's what I was about to ask you. Is this team settling in? Is this team starting to become who we thought they were, or is this just Indiana and Iowa are that bad?
Well, considering Iowa just beat Purdue, it's weird how it's all so incestuous that, Illinois walks out of Purdue last week and thinks, well, that was a pretty good run we gave them. We're feeling pretty good about ourselves. And then Purdue goes and loses to Iowa, so does that mean that near loss stinks now? But wait, yet Iowa won, so then the win over Iowa, now that counts some more. And they walked out of Michigan State a couple Saturdays ago thinking, we played our guts out, we just didn't win. Well, then Michigan State has gone and not played so great down the stretch. So I can't make it all add up or use the transitive property or try to figure out what the heck's going on, but I do tend to believe that they're giving more consistent effort. They are still playing pretty well on defense. The guys seem more cut in, to use Bruce's terminology. If DJ Richardson and Brandon Paul were hitting a few more shots, then you think the squad was really clicking right now.
You know what? That's a great point. And I thought, and I'm sure Indiana has a lot to do with this, but I thought Illinois' defense was really, really good early in that game. And that really got them kick-started, et cetera. And even Jeremy said they played kind of with an edge Saturday. And whether it was because of the way Indiana celebrated in Bloomington when they beat Illinois or what the deal was, whatever the edge was, I hope it's there Friday.
I'm curious to know, because Jeremy was there in the post-game press conference, and you could tell apparently that Mike Davis wanted to get that little burst out because nobody asked about any motivation or anything, and he just kind of capped the press conference by mentioning about the disrespect and Crean going to hug his wife and flat fives and, kiss his kids and so on. If that's what this team needs, it seems to be unnecessary to me, but if that's what this team feeds off of, then I guess they're gonna try to find something every game the rest of the way to get them cranked up just that extra notch.
Yeah, and I guess Demetri McKamey, he didn't mind the wife kissing. He didn't like the not shaking their hands, though. So maybe John Beilein, if he doesn't shake hands, Demetri McKamey will score 22 points again. You wonder what motivates these guys. If that's what it is, okay, but you're probably not going to get that every game.
No.
Sometimes I forget that, now that I'm so old now, that, 20-year-olds and 21-year-olds are motivated by a whole different brand of thinking and stuff than I'm sure we were the same way back in the day, but Jeremy, obviously your days are much more recent than Lon's.
Sure,
line.
Exactly.
But still,
they weren't very prolific basketball days, so don't worry about it.
I wonder if Beilein's married. I mean, that'd be the start. Maybe if he's there, if he's got a wife, at least he can kiss him and then really tick off this Illini team. Lindsay, in your mind, does Illinois need to win a game against Michigan Friday to make the big tournament?
No, and it would be it seems ridiculous to think that. The most, as you're sure you've talked about, most bracketologists see them as a 9 seed, at worst a 10 seed. How do you jump below, drop you 8, 9, 10 teams just by losing to a good Michigan team on a Friday? That seems silly to me.
Lindsay Wilhite from the Daily Herald joining us. And, Lindsay, is Michigan in? Are they in now after finishing fourth in the Big Ten? I mean, that's got to be a big sell for them.
I like to think they're in, but then, like I was saying at the top, I think Penn State belongs in the tournament. They're probably not going to get in, barring a run this weekend. Michigan, I would like to think that they deserve it. They're probably in the 11-12 seed range, but at that point, I guess the best way to put it is I think they are where Illinois was last year.
Mm-hmm.
And, we thought once Illinois beat Wisconsin in that tough 4-5 quarterfinal, we all thought, well, there, they proved it. And then when they took Ohio State to double overtime, I thought, well, there's another more proof that they can play with the best teams in the country. And that didn't even pan out. So for Michigan's sake, they ought to try to get this win just to solidify that resume.
Well, Lindsay, the Big Ten tournament has always been my favorite thing to cover, to watch. It's just a new beginning for all the teams. It's fun to get 11 teams there from the Big Ten, and they're all in the same setting playing. So Illinois is squaring off against Michigan, a team that is really coming on. Darius Morris has been outstanding lately down the stretch. Hardaway starting to play well. What do you think of this Michigan team? And, the game against Illinois here at the Hall, they hung in there and lost by 3. Do you think Illinois has got a good shot at getting them, or is this a pretty good matchup for Michigan?
I think this is a pretty even matchup. You mentioned Darius Morris, obviously. Hardaway has been playing much better since that Illinois game. I mean, he's been killing some teams down the stretch. Jordan Morgan has been remarkably solid over the last 10-12 games. their big guy. Boy, I expect another dogfight. I expect it to be relatively low scoring, you know, no more than low to mid-60s and a dogfight.
Lindsey, what do you think of the other matchups? I think 7, Michigan State, that's got to be scary for Purdue when that quarterfinal comes around.
Yeah, that's going to be, that will be the game to watch, I think, on the first day. I think that's, because Michigan State has nothing to lose in that one. Mm-hmm. And also they'll be a little wired and a little cranky, a little tired, presuming they had to put in some work to beat Iowa the day before. Wisconsin is funny because they lose in the quarterfinals as often as not. This is the 10th year in a row they've been a 4 seed or better. No one's ever done that in the league. No one's ever done more than 7 years in a row as a 4 seed or better. But some years they go ahead and lose, like last year. They lost in the quarterfinals. Yeah. Didn't seem to affect them, had no effect. But Penn State, presuming they're going to beat Indiana on the first day, Penn State's going to be playing wild and crazy to try to do anything they can to get in the tournament. So that should be pretty good, too. I just based on, and again, I hate to fall prey to the most recent game I've seen, but based on what Ohio State did Sunday, how does anybody pick against Ohio State winning this thing if they are involved and indeed want to win this thing?
Yeah, they just look like the best team in the country right now. Lindsey, I know you don't cover Bradley, but you cover a lot of college basketball. What did you think of the firing of Jim Wes?
You know, based on what I've been reading all year, I guess I was expecting it. But then when I was doing some research last night, this is the first time he was under 500 in the Missouri Valley since like 2004 or 2005. I mean, he was steadily 9-9, 10-8, 11-7. And like you say, I haven't paid super close attention, but I understand his top player, a couple good players were out for the year lost early in the year. You know, that's kind of a tough line. That almost sounds to me like people were looking for reasons to ditch him, or maybe there's boosterism at work here and wanting a fresh new face. I don't know. I'll be very interested to see who pops up in that job.
Well, you can keep listening in the 5 o'clock hour because we're going to have Jim Mattson on from, I'm sure you know Jim from.
Good get. Yep. There you go. Great, what are you wasting time on me for?
Yeah, well, right. That's what I said. We got to get rid of this Wilhide guy and get Mattson on. No. Hey, Lindsey, I understand things are a little colder on the top of the header.
Yeah, I got a little shave the other day. I appreciate you mentioning that. I'm actually trying to raise money. This is the third time, I think, in 6 years I've done this for St. Baldrick's. It's a fabulous organization that raises money to fight childhood cancer, and it's not one of those organizations, you know, it takes half your money and throws it around for administrative salaries and blah blah blah. I mean, the money all goes to figure out ways to stop kids from getting cancer, and if they do get it, from knocking that cancer right out of their body. So if anybody has $1, $5, $2.50, $7.50, anything, even my little niece and nephew donated $5 a piece. I'm
eternally
grateful to them. They're at the good old Dr. Howard Elementary there. It's stbaldricks.org, stbaldricks.org, and just type in my name, Mr. Wonderful, and or Lindsey Wilhite, whichever, and you know, anything you have, I would be indebted. I don't know, I'll wash your car next time I'm in Champagne, I'll figure out some way to pay you, but
yeah.
Anyway, stbaldricks.org. Thanks a million.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And that's what a great cause, Lindsey, so thank you for doing
that. Well, and Lindsey, even though the Illinois players didn't say they said they didn't like it, I think it's a great look on you.
Oh, well, thanks. You know, I kind of feel, I think Kent Brown there at U of I suggested I look like Lucas Johnson, and some other people said I look like Bryan Cranston in Breaking Bad.
Wow.
And what'd you call me, like Daddy Warbucks?
I call them Daddy
like
Warbucks,
that?
Yeah.
Yeah, poor Lindsey.
It's a compliment. Come on.
Yeah, you can see what you want to see in it. I'm like a not a litmus test, but one of those little psychological look into the picture and see what you want to see. ink blots or ink blot thing.
I love it. Well, Lindsey Wilhite, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to have you on.
So, are you going to be in Indy or what?
Well, we're going to try. We're going to try to get over there. I don't know if it's going to work though on Friday, right?
Yeah, I don't. It doesn't sound like it's going to work.
Okay,
I'm going to try and get there Saturday if Illinois is still playing.
Same deal. I'm going to try myself to get over there Saturday. If Illinois wins, for sure to get over and do that. So, Lindsey, I hope if I can, I'll run into you finally.
That would be awesome. I'll buy you the first Mountain Dew in the press room.
Sounds perfect. I will take it. Lindsey, thanks so much.
See you, fellas.
All right, Lindsey Wilhite, Daily Herald in Arlington Heights. Great guy. What a great cause he's doing that. That's wonderful to hear. Tay and Jay Show, 93.5, 95.3.
Connect FM.